A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, with such great power and with so strong a hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent he brought them out, that he might kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the face of the earth'? Let your blazing wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as a perpetual heritage.'" So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. Verbum Domini. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Our fathers made a calf in Horeb and adored a molten image. They exchanged their glory for the image of a grass-eating bullock.
Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people.
They forgot the God who had saved them, who had done great deeds in Egypt, wondrous deeds in the land of Ham, terrible things at the Red Sea.
Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people.
Then he spoke of exterminating them, but Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach to turn back his destructive wrath.
Remember us, O Lord, as you
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. you sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Moreover, the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he sent. You search the scriptures, because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But you do not want to come to me to have life. I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you do not accept me. Yet if another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Verbum Domini. It was August 15th, 1981, that this wonderful act of God's mercy, as I call it, EWTN launched its first programs. And those first programs were recorded in a garage studio, which is now our main control room. And a year later, September 1982, Mother Angelica recorded some programs called Mother Angelica Talks It Over. And I was able to watch one of those programs recently, and the garage studio was full of high school students. And during the course of these talks, she said to them, "Are high school students called to be holy?" And she said, "You know, the Holy Spirit enables you not just to go along with the crowd, that you're able to stand firm, to stand alone if necessary, to bear witness to the Lord." But in her talk on faith, she said some people, here's what she said, some people today only live half a life, the human life, the life they can see, a thing they can understand, but they never get to the invisible reality. If you believe in Jesus, you have the greatest gift that God could ever have given you, because you have with you always a presence unseen, but very real and very loving. Some people only live half a life, the human life, the life they can see, the thing they can understand, but they never get to the invisible reality. In today's gospel, as we continue through John chapter 5, for the rabbinic legal system, the legal system of the rabbis, you had to have two witnesses in order to confirm a verdict. And the one who was accused could not testify on his own behalf. And so what Jesus is pointing out here, this is why he says, and maybe you were a little bit confused by what the Lord said at first. He said, if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. That's according to the rabbinic tradition. You can't testify on your own behalf. Of course, everything the Lord said was true. But then he says, not just two witnesses bear witness to me, but also he gives three witnesses that testify on my behalf who he is. The first being John the Baptist. And he talks about how you sent emissaries to ask John who he was. And you see this in the beginning of John's gospel. This is John chapter 5, John chapter 1, that emissaries are sent and they're asked, are you the Christ? He says, no. And he goes on to say that there's one who's coming who's greater than I, whose strap on his sandal I'm not worthy to unfasten. And then later on, John says this, I have seen and bore witness that he is the Son of God. And then when he testifies to Andrew, who was one of his disciples, that Andrew says to Peter, we have found the Messiah. And so John's testimony, John the Baptist's testimony, this is one of the witnesses. The second are the works that I do. Think of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where he comes to Jesus at night and he says, no one could do the works that you do if God wasn't with him. And so Nicodemus is one of the Sanhedrin. He too testifies that these works that you're doing, these testify on who you are, the truth of who you are. And then finally, the scriptures themselves. Moses spoke about me. And so this is the beautiful time of Lent, which I love because we go through these very central themes of our faith, and we especially look at these Old Testament prefigurements that are going to find only their understanding and completion in Jesus Christ. And so what is the purpose of putting the blood of a lamb on doorposts and the lintel? Well, we don't really understand until Christ comes. And then John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's by his blood. Then we say, oh, now I understand. So the scriptures, the Lord is saying, they testify to on my behalf. So these are three witnesses. But today I especially wanted to talk about one of the sentences that our Lord said today. And he says, so he's saying the scriptures, you think you have eternal life through them, even they testify on my behalf. But you do not want to come to me to have life. You do not want to come to me to have life. And I'd like to break that up into three parts. You do not want. And so this is where our will is involved. There's a choice. We're not being coerced to follow the Lord. It's something that we freely choose or reject. And so on yesterday's lines that preceded this, the Lord spoke about how he has life in himself. The Father has life in himself, and he gave the Son the possession of life in himself. Those who have done good deeds, they will come to the resurrection of the life. Those who have done wicked, to the resurrection of condemnation. So that's the choice. You do not want. And it's a question for all of us. You know, when our Lord has these events, you know, with these those who are opposed to him, these words are also addressed to us because that's in our hearts too, in some way. And so these words that our Lord is saying to the leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes and so on, they're also words to us to examine our hearts. You do not want to come to me. And so today is the day, and the season of Lent is a time for us to choose that way of life. So first of all, our response is free. We're free to choose to come to Christ or not to. And the second part is where he says, to come to me. So there must be some motion on our part to come to the Lord, at least in our hearts, and especially, of course, in our hearts, a motion to come to the Lord. We are in the great Jubilee, and the title the Holy Father has is that we're pilgrims of hope. And the title, when he instituted this Jubilee year, this ordinary Jubilee year that happens every 25 years, is Spes non confundit. Hope does not disappoint. This comes from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 5. Hope does not disappoint. And he says that hope is the constant companion that guards our steps toward the encounter with Jesus Christ. For everyone, may the Jubilee be a moment of genuine personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason for a pilgrimage, that we may come to the Lord. And we're expressing that bodily. We're body and spirit. So our hearts are making this motion to the Lord, but then our bodies too are going to express this, especially during this year, making a pilgrimage. I recently wrote a newsletter article coming out about making a pilgrimage during this year. It doesn't have to be across the ocean, it can be. That could be a wonderful experience to be in the silence and be with the Lord. But there are other places that are nearby. But just making that pilgrimage is a way in which we're expressing this motion to come to the Lord. You know, Pope Francis, he also quotes Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where St. Paul says, well, who can separate me from the love of Christ? Trial, distress, persecution, danger, the sword. Nothing in heaven on earth can separate me from the love of Christ. And he says, this is why we have hope even in the midst of trials, because nothing can separate us from that love of Christ. So that's the second part, the first and second part, where Jesus says, but you do not want, so making our free response to choose him, to come to me, at least interiorly in our hearts, to make that motion, to express that in other ways, going to a church, going to the sacraments, to have life. That's the third part, to have life. Mother said, some people only live half a life. Just that what they can see, that what they can understand. But she said, if you believe in Jesus, you have the greatest gift, because you have with you always a presence unseen, but very real and very loving. And you have life in Christ, the true life, the fullness of life. We're not going to then just live half a human life. We're going to live the fullness of our life. That's what the Lord came to bring us, life, and to live life abundant. That begins even here and now. Finally, in our office of readings today, I always love Pope St. Leo the Great. He's such has a wonderful way with words. He was a pope from 440 to 460. And I think he speaks, too, about these things that I've just been discussing. And so he's talking about contemplating the Lord and his passion. And he's speaking about the future resurrection. Here's what Pope Leo said. What is to happen in our bodies, the future resurrection, should now take place in our hearts. Already it's beginning. This new life, this resurrected life, this beginning of heaven, it begins already in our hearts. What is to happen to our body should now take place in our hearts. No one, however weak, he continued, is denied a share in the victory of the cross. No one is beyond the help of the prayer of Christ. His prayer brought benefit to the multitude that raged against him. How much more does it bring to those who turn to him in repentance? The Christian people are invited to share the riches of paradise. We're invited to share the riches of paradise. So may the Lord's words in that sentence that I divided up a bit not be said of us. You do not want to come to me to have life. But may the opposite be said. You do want to come to me to have life, and you will have life, and life abundantly.